So prophetic.
No, just a professional outfit, Jade.
I can tell.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, because it looked like for a moment there you weren't thinking.
Just the people in it.
Not be sure this is. Look at all the cameras.
And how's the tea?
The tea is perfect, actually. This is the nicest coffee I've had in a...
These tea drinkers can be quite fussy.
Mm. Oh, can they?
We are.
Did you get a sweetener on it?
I did get a sweetener.
Wow.
So
let me just ask you, how do you make the perfect cup of tea?
Well, that was by luck, that one.
No, Michael, there's no such thing as luck. It's skill.
It is skill. But skills acquired over a period of time.
Do you put milk in while the tea bag is in? Do you take the tea bag out first?
Tea bag out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm just checking. That's why I'm asking.
You know what? There's just a right way and there's a wrong way.
Yeah.
And most of the time you've got to educate people.
So what's the right way? Just educate me.
Well, for me, it's tea bag in the cup, then the hot water, then the sugar, because it's still connected. So
it's still brewing, yeah?
Because it's still hot, and then splash your milk.
But when do you take the tea bag out?
Oh, you leave it. You leave it for a good minute or something.
Depends on how.
There's no really a time. You know what it is? It's a feeling. You just, you know.
You're looking, that's about right.
So you gauge it by the colour.
Yes, and that's why I have clear glass mugs at home.
But certain tea bags only distribute the tea.
Oh.
In different times, if you know what I mean.
You can't drink a cheap tea bag.
What's that?
You can't drink a cheap tea bag. You have to have quality tea bags.
So what is a quality tea then?
Yorkshire tea. Yorkshire tea.
Really? Okay.
Well, just so happens that you got Yorkshire tea.
It's my absolute favourite. We'll do an English breakfast from Twinings, but Yorkshire tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay, so I've learned something today. Yorkshire tea, there'll be £25.50.
So, Jane, we've got you on the podcast then. Mm-hmm. So
I have arrived.
You've had a bit of a journey. We spoke briefly months and months ago, and then we met at Time Castle. Mm-hmm. We were doing that Neurostars. Neurostars, that's the very one. Well done, Vickers. But no, just your journey in business, and you're a marketing guru. Can I call you that?
Well, I've been told that's who I am. I'm just a wee marketeer.
Just a wee marketeer.
Just a wee marketeer.
Why did you start your business, and how did it all begin?
It's a good question. I started it. So I had worked in marketing for a global recruitment company in healthcare. So doctors, nurses, locums. And I did a few jobs in there. And I ended up in the marketing team as the senior marketing manager. And I love marketing. Like, you can talk to me about most things, and I don't think I'll get more passionate than when I'm actually talking about marketing. The challenge in that role was working within healthcare. So you have to be able to contain yourself a lot, because you're working with public sector and there's a lot that you can and can't do. The can't was more the problem for me. So I just kind of looked at where I wanted to be, and I didn't want to be in any boxes. And I thought, I'm going to move on and try some different kinds of marketing, because the more you try, the better you get. And there's no one style of marketing that fits every single type of business. So I ended up with a creative agency here in Fife, and I fell in love with this agency. Like, they are just like a little powerful force, and you don't even know they're here. And they do brand activations, and they do playbooks and toolkits for brands, primarily within the drinks industry, and they're phenomenal. And again, I was inspired to be better and to do more for myself. It's a woman owner that owns that business, and she's a young woman, and she is a force. Like, I have got so much respect and admiration for her. And I thought, if she can do it, if she can go and build something incredible, like, why can't I? Why can't I do it? And they were really supportive. They're like, yeah, go for it. Absolutely, we support you. And I did, and Thrive was born. And to be fair, because of my ADHD, what happened was there was a thought in my head on like a Tuesday, and then by the Friday I left my job. So that's just kind of how my life works.
So exactly like a business owner. We just jump we don't plan, we just go.
Didn't know how it was going to work. I didn't really know how I was going to do it. I'd already been kind of, I guess, seeding on LinkedIn. I'd grown a network on there already. I was talking to people. And one of the big things that I noticed is it was all or nothing with marketing as well. So you either weren't with the big agency,
yep,
retainer fees, high costs, not really accessible for businesses, certainly where we are in Fife, not for a lot of the smaller businesses, to be working out on large agency fees or retainer fees to have somebody that they can just tap into as and when they need it. Like a wee pay-as-you-go marketing service. And I was like, aha, guess what I can do? And here I am. That's exactly what I've been doing now for 14 months.
That's an interesting thing because I think marketing is one of the things that scares a lot of people because anything else, so sales I can measure, okay?
Yes.
Marketing is about that. How much money do I put into that black hole before I see a return? Because it's not that, it's not everything works for everybody. Every business, and even if you have two businesses in the same industry, what works for you might not necessarily work for me. So how do you juggle that sort of conversations with clients when they come to you and go, hey, Jade, this isn't working? Because inevitably, people want quick results.
Yes.
You know, an overnight success story, 25 years in the making.
Yeah.
How do you juggle things like that?
Manage expectations. You've probably known from a few events that we've been to together. I'm quite brutally honest with people. Like, I don't know the answer to everything and I can't always explain why something works or why it doesn't. So I'm just really honest and upfront. I will not guarantee anybody that I work with results because I can't. I can do everything within the best of my power as I know it and understand it, but I cannot account for people. And marketing is the psychology of people, of an audience, of a community, of a network. And you don't know what's right. Look at COVID. Look what happened. And then everything you think you know about a society or a community or an audience changes in the blink of an eye. Now, obviously, day to day, we're in a lot less of extremes than COVID. But all it takes is one thing to happen in the news or on social media. And like perception changes. So while you can be doing X, Y, and Z and seeing results and it's working for you, even in the first however long we're doing it. So one thing works day one, day two, it's gone
could
again.
Be, yeah.
Like, so I cannot guarantee that by working with me, I am going to 10 times scale your business. Like, I can't do it and I won't do it. I'm just really honest about that. But what I can do is I will cheerlead the hell out for you. Like, I will be there in the back doing whatever it is you need to do. And if I don't know the answer, I'll go and find out. If I think you're doing something wrong, I'll probably tell you. If I think you're doing something right, we'll look at why that might be. I'm very big on data. I like to look at numbers, but it doesn't always explain the picture. Was it Ron Burgundy that said that 99% of the time stats don't work 100% of the time or something along those lines? There's a quote in a movie that's bloody phenomenal. And, you know, numbers are contextual as well. Like, what's a 300% increase on sales
if you've got one sale? It's all relative.
It's all relative, absolutely.
But what I do like is data-driven insights.
Yes.
Because data does tell a story, whichever way you like to look at it. It either tells you a romance novel or it tells you a horror story.
Mm-hmm.
Your numbers do tell you a story around it. So data-driven insights, and I think in marketing, and any business at the moment, the more data you have available, and the better you are to action the data, the better you are to look at the data, interpret it, more importantly, understand the data,
yeah,
the better your business will be.
Totally agree.
From that sort of perspective.
That might be my alarm on my phone.
Where's your phone?
It's a good question.
In your bag, maybe.
Is it in my pocket? Sorry for the interruption.
That's all right. This is just a call.
Authenticity.
Wow. Okay. So what I forgot to do was, I turned the mic off. Yeah, it's my alarm. So
right.
Now you know what time I get up in the morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing.
And I've also got an 8:45 alarm because I always forget about this is going to sound awful that my daughter needs to go to school. So I'm usually on calls by 8:30 and I need an alarm to remind me that she needs to be out the door.
Well, I don't know if my wife was half sleeping this morning, but she said, oh, the kids are at school this week.
She
said they're at school, but we thought they were not at school this week. But she woke up this morning, you know, 5:00, and the kids are at school today. Right, okay. Right, sleep tight. Is that right or is it wrong? I don't know.
Yeah, they are at school this week. It's next week. They break off on Friday.
Ah, there you go then. Perfect.
No, it's not. It's not perfect at all.
Stuff. I think going back to what you said there, Jade, about being open and honest, brutally open and honest, especially when it comes to being a marketing agency or working on people's marketing. I think people will feel that when you're being totally honest, when you say, I can't promise you results, but I'll work the hell off for you and trying to help you. You know, from your 14 months, you're saying you've been doing this. What experiences you had with clients that have, you know, what have you helped clients with? Maybe one of your clients, what have you helped them with?
So one of the ladies that I worked with, she had an offer on her website, and she is like a paralegal support services. So she had been with her website either. She'd never had any inquiries from the website. And so let's just take a wee look, like, what's going on? So we had a wee look at the website, and the first thing that stood out to me, and it's a very, very common thing that businesses do, is they talk all about themselves. Like, this is our service. This is what we offer. This is how much it costs. And it's something I'll bang on about until, like, I'm in the grave. Like, it's stop talking about your features and start talking about your benefits. Like, how do these services and how does this price point actually benefit the people that is landing on this website or is landing on this social media post or is reading this flyer? People don't really care that much about what we do. All they want to know is how we help them or meet a need. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know we build communities on social and we're there to, you know, spread the good word about us and what we're doing. But ultimately, I think people are inherently selfish. Doesn't mean that that's a bad thing, but we're looking for things that make our life easier, that make our life better, that make our life more fulfilled. So in any copy within your marketing, read that and tell me how often it says the word you. You get this, you can have this, you will benefit from this, and pull it back to your services. Don't lead the other way around. So that's what we did. We rephrased the copy on the website. We kind of fixed the structure. There was a lot more about me at the top rather than sort of like a hero section. So we did that. And then a couple of weeks later, just like, oh my God, I've had a few inquiries from my website and I've actually got some clients. Yeah. And it just makes me feel really happy to hear when people get results. Not just that they're happy working with me, but also to hear that that's actually made an impact on her bottom line. Like,
well, it's like anything. When anybody starts their own business, you're doing it for maybe the freedom, but ultimately you think you could do better and you can financially get a financial gain. So if you're responsible for helping that, well, that's sending their kids to Bali or going for a holiday at the end of the year. That's what you're helping out. And I think that's people is what you've said there as well. It should resonate with a lot of people. You know, talk about your services and what you're actually, the value you're creating for people, but then the value that you're creating for them as well. It goes a long way because we're spending money left, right and centre and sharing memories and having memories, going on holiday, experiencing things, and that's what we need the business for, to help us afford these things. So
Wish I was better about it for myself. The marketers, us marketers, are the world's worst marketers for their own business.
I don't necessarily think so. I think that we're all very, very hard on ourselves when it comes to things like that because it's just the way we are.
Like a busman's holiday, though. It's like joiners. Yeah. Everybody else gets, but your house is always the last one to get done.
Yeah.
I'm even going to go there.
So see, in business, we talk about, especially on here, resilience is a big part of it all. And you're still quite a young business, so what resilience have you been through? But you've actually been through way more than most, and it'd be interesting.
I did a wee speech on this when we were at Tynecastle, and it was talking about the fear of failure, but I have been afraid of some pretty crazy things. So I was in an accident in 2019, and I was hit by a lorry in my car. Now, I walked out of the accident just fine. I wasn't fine. I mean, I had some bruising and some cuts and scrapes and, you know, it wasn't a little bump, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't life changing in that moment. Went home. And then I think it was about a week later, I got up to walk and I fell down and was just like, oh, must just be some, you know, shock or whatever. It was just latent from the accident. And then that night I tried to walk again and fell down again. So husband bundled me up, took me into the hospital, and I was in there for 10 days and came out in a wheelchair and came out with my life completely turned upside down. I couldn't walk. My brain had simply forgot how to put one foot in front of the other, which is really odd because at the same time I was able to squat, but I couldn't walk. Like, it just didn't make any sense. So I've got a brain disorder. It's something called functional neurological disorder, and it's actually a really common neurological problem. Most people haven't heard of it, but it's probably the most common reason that somebody ends up in a neurologist's office. Right. And it is a problem that affects the signals in the brain. So it's not like physical plaques on your nerves or anything like that. It's not a break. But if you can imagine it, that you go to turn the camera on and the microwave comes on instead.
Okay.
So there's a problem with this wiring. And I had that before the accident. But this condition, any physical stressors can cause a reaction in your body to make this condition go worse. And that's exactly what happened. Within the space of 3 months, I started having multiple seizures a day. I had a stammer and a stutter and I lost the ability to talk properly. I couldn't form coherent sentences. I couldn't care for myself. I had to be washed and bathed and fed, and I couldn't hold a fork without the tremors going wild. And I was essentially like a wee potato in my own house. I just couldn't do anything for myself. And I had two kids, you know, a 13-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my husband had to quit work and look after me. And we thought, shit, is this life? So that's what we've got to look forward to now. Like, I'm young. I mean, this was 6 years ago. So I was how old am I? I'm 37 this year. So 31. Just didn't know what we were going to do. And it was hard. It was miserable, actually. And we did everything by the book, did neurological rehab and did the physio exercises, didn't drink, and we tried to eat well. But it was just shit. Like, it was just, so I don't know, really.
It was
brutal. But at the same time, COVID was happening. So I think in a way I was really lucky that we didn't feel the effects of this national lockdown and being alienated from society, because we were in a little bubble. Like, we had no idea what was going on in the world until he went out to get some shopping one day and all the shelves were empty. And we're like, what's happening? And then we realized there was much more going on in the world than my wee accident. But got through that. And when I say got through, there came a point where, you know, he found me in the worst place possible on the kitchen floor, just ready to give up. And he's like, we can't do that. We just cannot do that. Like, you have got to fight. Like, this is faith, love, hope. This is what he says. So we believed that things would get better. And, you know, the neurologist will laugh at me for that one, because that's the first thing they say. Positive thinking cures all ills. It doesn't. But it helps. It helps you to not spiral into those pits of despair. So we decided to have a drink with the neighbours. That's what we decided to do. We're like, do you know what? Okay. Let's just enjoy ourselves. Like, this is obviously life now. It's not going to get any better. So we had a drink. And we enjoyed ourselves. And then we just started to relax a little bit more. And there was some light at the end of the tunnel. I woke up one day, I was like, babe, I think I can take a step. And he was like, no, you can't, sit back down. I was like, no, I think I can. And I did. I used a step with a walker. And then that one step led to two, which led to 10, which led to 100. And for all that you'll see me walking here now, I still live with mobility problems. So I can't walk for any period of time or stand for too long. I get tremors in my hands. I stutter when I get tired. But I've been seizure free for about 3 years, and I've been back on my feet for a couple of years. And now I just live with the fact that tomorrow I can wake up and be right back to where I was 4 years ago, or I could be just where I am now, or I could get better, or it's a very variable condition. And this is my life.
Wow.
Jeez, that puts lots of things into perspective, though.
Do you have a button for that?
We round of applause?
We can get an applause, or how do we can get one if I can work it. Let's just make sure we're on the right one.
I think that's an amazing story. From because we always think things are bad. You know, when you hear a story like that, real adversity, and here you are 6 years later, taking one day at a time, because you can't live for tomorrow. You can only live for today, because that's why they call it a present, because it's a gift. You need to make the most out of every day. So that's big, big admiration, I think, from all of us around the table.
Oh, for sure.
For definitely coming through that and being able to talking about it freely. Because sometimes we don't think people go through difficult times, and they do need to hear that there is hope at the end of the tunnel.
I think it's also... When you have something like that, you reflect on life a little bit more. And they sometimes say the people that have went through the most are actually the strongest. So you take your partner for that as well, and all the things that he's done and he's adapted. You know, that's what a great partner has to do. But you can talk it through until you're actually in that point.
Yeah.
But I think that will serve you very well in life. You know, I've never experienced something as horrific as that, but I could feel your pain there.
Even the cold that you've got now.
What cold? What cold? It's just an. It's actually just an embarrassment.
Rumour has it you have man flu.
Man flu.
He was dying before you walked
Everybody's got something going on. Sometimes it's a lot greater than somebody else. But that's maybe a point for everybody to realise on their day to day. Just chill out a little bit. Don't be too opinionated. Don't put other people down. You have no idea what path what people are on at that time. But I think when you find people in business, whether it be networking or whatever the social circles, you can instantly gravitate to people that are a decent human being. And a lot of it comes from they've gone through quite a bit of shit in their life. And they realise, you know what, I'm here for one time only. Mm-hmm. Let's have a bit of a laugh and be around the right people, I suppose.
Yeah, I used to be quite cynical and, you know, quite openly, I'll admit it, quite selfish with me and my time. And, you know, I don't form relationships very well. And people might say that's, you know, the ADHD and stuff. But actually, it's just because I was a closed wee book. I was in it, in life for me. And then, you know, shit happens over the years. And after everything I've been through, people now say, how can you be this positive all the time? How can you be this cheery? How do you love Mondays? You have no idea how lucky you are to have a Monday or have a Monday and do a job that you can just, that you love and be able to do it every single day. And you've got a family at home that loves you and supports you. And there's always going to be times that are really dark and tough and hard. But I have got so much good to remember in all of that. Because of what I've been through, that I am just genuinely this happy and positive and cheery and nice all the time. Because I can't not be. This or that. And I pick this.
Well, good for you. So, starting your own business is stressful. So,
yeah.
If you've got that attitude, you're getting through that pretty well, then, I would say. So, bringing it back a bit then, who or what would you say the top three things are that you see that are mistakes in marketing?
Mistakes.
As in not working.
Okay, so the first thing we've touched on it is it's all about me, but it should never be about me. So I do this, I do that, instead of you get this, you get that. So that's probably my number one bugbear, shall we say, when I read people's marketing collateral. The other thing, I guess, is trying to do absolutely everything all of the time in all of the places because you don't have a clue who you're talking to.
Yep.
So figuring out who your audience is and then nailing your messaging. So I don't believe in the term niching down because certainly in my business, I feel like I can help a variety of different people. So I could help the small business, the medium-sized business, the large business, as fractional marketing support, going in and helping teams that are already established. So I've got quite a varied scope of services and areas I can help. But I cannot talk to all of those businesses on every platform all of the time. So knowing where your audience is, who your audience is, what drives them, and speaking to only them in that channel is key. So if you think about motivations that people use LinkedIn for versus Instagram versus TikTok versus, you know, leaflets at an event or at networking events, what are the motivations behind the individual being there? What are they looking to get out of it? And then that messaging that you put out, so your social media posts, you know, what you write on LinkedIn should be very different to that caption that you're putting on Instagram because you're calling
two different audiences.
Completely. Now, it's still people at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what the demographics, I guess. Doesn't matter is the wrong word, but know your demographics. So Johnny, 35, lives in...
Thanks, Jade.
You know, where you live and what your general income is, but actually go another step further. Psychographics, what keeps Johnny up at night?
Yeah.
What drives him? What is your motivation in life? How do you want to get there? And then pull that back. How does your product or service then help Johnny do that? So again, that ties into point one, but tailor your messaging, make it benefits driven, put it in the right platform towards the right audience. And again, what people are typically doing is creating a caption for Instagram and then blasting that on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on TikTok, on their website, and they're just copying and pasting the same stuff. So that is probably number two. Number three, not utilizing technology. there's a hell of a lot out there, right? But your majority of businesses are asking marketers to give them the world on a shoelace. Like,
yeah, so they're not prepared to invest in systems, whatever it is. Yeah,
absolutely. Now, understand, there are a lot of free systems and tools out there. So if you're looking for a CRM, you've got things like HubSpot. There is a free plan within HubSpot. You don't need to have all the bells and whistles right away. So if you're a new business, there's a host of free tools that you can use for email, for CRM, for scheduling your social media posts, but use them. Do not ignore the fact that they're there, because there's going to come a point in your business, hopefully, that's what we're all working towards, that you are going to scale. And if you are scaling into a point and you are running your business on spreadsheets and phone call conversations, you've got a real problem when you've then got a marketer coming in to say, well, what have you tried? What's worked before?
Yeah.
What is your cost per acquisition? Where's your return on ad spend for previous campaigns? You have none of that anywhere. I'm just shooting in the dark. So you don't have to spend a lot of money on tech. There are free routes available to you, but get it, use it. Like, acclimatize your teams to putting info in a system that's going to help your marketer in the long run.
Information is power. The more information you have, the better your decision-making ability.
Yes.
But as business owners, very often when we start, we think, you know what, Excel, Bootstrap is okay, up to a certain point, okay? So, but you need to invest in systems. If you really want to scale a good system, because the system brings efficiency, it brings so many benefits
around it.
I think there's just so much in the market, and that's what people get concerned by.
That's what I'm here for. I can tell you.
But that is a valid point. Oh, sorry, Vickers. On you go.
No, you go.
It's a valid point.
35-year-old Johnny.
I know. Absolutely beautiful. Before you get a marketing person on, you want to make yourself a certain level of efficiencies. So then when a marketing company person comes on board, they're like, right, you've got that sorted and that sorted. Right, this is absolutely perfect. Is that kind of what you're saying?
No. I need to come in at that stage. You're looking at what's going to make you more efficient.
Right, okay.
So you, Johnny, let's say like you're like, no, I can't get a marketer in yet. I need to go and get myself a CRM and an email system. And then you end up paying like £1,000 a month on shit you don't need.
Right, okay.
So I can actually come in at the point where you're starting and just advise, be like, right, okay, so this is what you're doing. I think you need this and this, at least for now, but here's a free option that you can use in the meantime, which will scale with you. So a lot of these platforms have things to go, but don't wait to get some advice. Like, you can, and this is why I'm here, because before you couldn't. You couldn't actually just go to a marketing agency without having to get tied into contracts and just like, can I just get an hour to just shoot some stuff with you and figure out what do I actually need here to be in a position to maybe work with you in 3 months' time or 6 months' time. I'm not going to turn somebody away just because they don't have data. I'll find a way to make sure that they have it moving forward and we'll work with what we've got in the meantime. But getting somebody from outside to come in that knows nothing about you but has an idea and can see the bigger picture of where you're going and what you might need when you get there will be so valuable for your business. Don't wait.
I think it's really good. That's good advice.
I definitely think that the point there is, though, that there's so many systems out there.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of that you, and this is always the interesting thing about a system. It does 80% of what you want it to do. But the 20% that makes your business unique doesn't do. So you adapt your business to that without looking outside the box, looking at different scenarios, different systems that are out there. And once you're comfortable with the system, a lot more difficult to change.
Yes.
Because you're like, this works for me 80% of the time.
See, I'm going back a bit now. But when not everybody's like me, some people are very
high.
But when you're starting the business, I really want to go delving into somebody that's just started their business. They don't know, you know, set up a limited business, a sole trader. They don't know the differences, even trying to get a bank account. They know how to do the job, whatever it may be they're doing. But they're going into a field that they've never been in before. That, you know, even just the profit and loss sheet. Yeah. They just go, oh, I just need to get work in. So really, right, break this right down. For you to fire off a system, some people might not know, like, what do I need a system for? I think it's, what I'm trying to get to is, if you are offering that free advice for someone, just to steer them in the right direction, and when it comes a point, you go, I'll help you to this point, and then it's a case of there's going to be a financial meeting, or you know, there's got to be something exchanging later on. But it's like there are people like your business gateway and whatnot that will help you out, but people just have to open their eyes and go, there is help out there first. And what you've said beautifully is you have to create the path on how you're going to get all the systemizations in your business.
How do you build a system? Just a question. How do you build a system?
No, got a bloody clue.
You need to look at your processes of what's coming in.
So practically, yeah, you're right. So practically, tell us a story, because it goes back to the Excel spreadsheet.
Monkey boy.
No, I'm on it. But tell me, yes, you've got to look at what's happening. So you've got phone calls, emails, whatever it is that's coming in. Like, what do you do with them then? How do you reply to them?
Okay.
And then you're starting to look at technology.
Tell us how you got to a system. Tell me, remember the Excel spreadsheet story?
Yeah, well, on that one. So we were on Excel spreadsheets for, I don't know, it was like 15 years maybe. Which one?
It's 12.
It was our third year. Our third year, we had a lot of growth on the line. And this little spreadsheet that I had was doing a job for me. Mm. But it's all open to manual error. You know, there was a lot going on when you're doing the letting side. And it really got to a point where we just couldn't really take on much more business because we were at a ceiling with it all. And we were searching around for technology. And I thought I had one, which was a shambles, I think. But we had that for about a year and didn't do really anything with it at all. Like, it's just too convoluted and complicated. And so instead of, this is where accountability is, because we're accountable to ourselves, but nobody's looking over us going, you need to sort that shit out. Until I did have that, somebody from Business Gateway actually came in, and that's what they done. Sat me down and gave me a right good talking to. So then, again, you're on the search, and we found a system which was unbelievable, to the point where we thought it was a scam. Can't be that good. And it was. And still, we're the biggest advocate for it. But that was a game changer. So you're on about 80%. That took 80% of my workload off me, and allowed me then to go and grow the business. So just getting that technology in there. So why are we all laughing?
Because I know exactly where he's going with this.
Like, we need to know then.
Just crayon and paper.
No. So for you first write it out. Then you type it out. Then eventually you go, I can't type it out. It's too much work. I'll need to get something where I input it on the system.
I still remember the days is sitting with a wee notebook, typing it up, then it was connected to my printer, and I'll print that off, and I'll put that in an envelope, and I'll post it out.
So you're not 35.
It's 36. We don't want to come out
and say it. But I remember that. I remember the feeling. I remember the hustle, the bustle. And Lisa, how do I print this off? The cable's not working. Back in the day, and I remember that. And then the thing that changed for me, because I am not tech savvy, and I suppose I can learn it, but I can't be bothered with it.
That's what I would say. It's just another name for lazy.
Do you know what? I know where I excel in.
Yeah.
And then when my sister came on board, Gareth came on board, they were good at all that. I need a computer. You don't got a laptop or something? Johnny, we need a computer. Okay. How much is that? And I remember doing all that, but she did all her computer stuff and printing off and emails and things. And then eventually, you're getting your software systems. You progress, but I only progressed because I had people in there that were saying, well, what are we doing with this? I don't know. You just figure it out. I didn't know how to do that sort of thing. And it's probably in the last 5 years I got a system in. And we've been running for, I don't even know how long we've been running, 11 years, 13 years. So I'm archaic on that side.
Well,
process is that. Now we're much better, because there's about six of us in the office. So there have to be.
You develop at pace, though. When you start scaling, you develop at pace, and you start recognizing where you're inefficient. You start recognizing.
If I started again, I'd probably still do it the same way, because I'd have no clue. Or I would get somebody in to do all of that. You just do all of that side of things.
But that's exactly what you were talking about. If you've got somebody coming in and sort of giving you some guidance as to what you need. Because one of the things that we were well aware of is you've got a system for that, a system for this. And before you know it, you're duplicating all this data.
Yeah.
And all you've the got, time that's yeah, spent 10 duplicating systems all this
instead
data.
Of one.
Right. Yeah.
And then we were working off one screen back in the day. Now I've got three.
You're just hyper efficient. That's why.
But it's so much faster. Even like, everyone's got two screens at least now. So
I just couldn't work even, on one screen anymore.
Copy and pasting data over to different systems.
He's like, he's still in the book. He seems to my office and go, why have you got a computer? It looks a party. How do you turn? You know, someone, I was up, was it 2 weeks ago? I was at the phone office saying, Dean, how did I get this Word thing on the computer? And he's like, are you being serious? I went, yes, I'm not lying. I just need to know how to do this. How'd it go on? He says, do you still use Paint?
I think it's quite interesting, though, hearing you guys talk about how you build a system. Yous are starting from front to back. Like, this is what I do, so this is what I need. Rather than, I always work back to front. Well, actually, yeah. So I start at the end. Like, where do I want to be? What's happening over here? And then what do I need to put in place to be able to facilitate
So
that?
You're talking from the height, from the benefit of having experience. But when you're in the thick of things, that's how people's brains automatically think. They don't think 5 years ahead. Most people don't think 2 years ahead. So they don't think that far ahead and then work it back. They go, okay, I've got this problem. How do I solve it?
And I've always done that.
So you see, that's great because it's a different way of thinking.
But it's a learning, even just switching that. You know that's the best way to do it because it is.
It is the best way. Start with the end in mind and work it back. But those are just words because when you're in the thick of things, those things fall away.
Bullshit.
Well, that's another.
You think
so? You've got a point where you're doing something that you think is working. But as you start to grow, then you start to realise that there's the problems. You need to change that for growth.
100% what he's saying. When you've got the growth. So that's why I was saying bullshit. I understand what you're saying, and that's correct. But you only say that from a point of view where you've learnt a lot and you've been around people and you've hustled enough. You go, maybe I should start thinking about a client profile. What he looks like or what she looks like. How much does she spend? How much does she weigh?
Shouldn't you be thinking about that right in the beginning?
But you don't know because you don't even know fucking what you're doing.
So when a new business is starting then, because I think very oddly, like, so I have ADHD. I also have bipolar. So my brain just doesn't work.
Gee, you're a party.
I am a party.
My brain is a riot. Now the 35-year-old comment makes sense.
Yeah, we don't know which me was saying that. But like, I obviously don't think the same way as other people do, which obviously is invaluable with what I do. Yeah. But like in my mind, so you've just started a new business. You don't have the working yet. So what are you doing? If you're not marketing, if you're not building systems and processes and you're not servicing clients, what is it you're actually doing?
But that's working on the business, whereas they're working in it still. Everybody's working in it at that stage, at the startup stage.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so
how they should be doing it.
So what you're asking is, so when you start your business, you jump in and you either go networking because you've heard that works, or you post on Facebook and you're posting to everybody or Instagram. Because you got to get the product out there. You got to sell to make money to pay the bills. Startup mode is like eating soup with a fork. You're very, very busy, but you stay very, very hungry. Because you'll sell, client will pay you, you'll go buy another product. And that's what you do. You don't get the time to lift your head and go, there has to be a better way. You get so stuck into the day-to-day that you miss it out completely. You don't get time to think about your business. To strategically say, okay, I'm here, but I want to be there. What do I need to do? And it wears you out.
What do we need to do then? Because there's people in this room with years of experience and then there's people starting. Like, I'm a big believer in, like, we should help people.
Yep, that's what this is all about.
So what's missing? What do we need? What needs to be out there for somebody that, like, for me, on a Tuesday decides I'm going to start my own business and by the Friday has done it? Like, what do they need to tap into?
Things like this, though, to be honest.
There's loads of YouTube videos. You know, you take...
YouTube videos.
Yeah. And AI.
And AI. But if there was a step, we talk about there's books, there's all these things, and some people are not, I'm not book, I don't like books. But if you've got video content out there and you're looking to improve and you're looking to seek and find, you can find the stuff. This whole concept for us is to build a community of people and educate people as much as you can. But as Vickis was saying earlier, a lot of it's just words. It's about the action. And, you know, you've done your journey, we're on our journey still as well, and we've learned a lot along the way. It's just getting a step-by-step process for people and dumbing it down so they can go, right, you don't have to be... We've spoken all the episodes and I've seen loads of businesses there, really successful on the Glossy Mag, right? And there's a lot of bravado and ego around it. You get rid of that, drop kick it away and just dumb it down and make people feel comfortable about starting a journey in business. And that's kind of what we're trying to do. But there are help like this, Business Gateway and all the other platforms. There's lots out there. You just have to go and seek and find it. And hopefully we're one of them.
Because I think, you know, from our side here, we're looking to get golden nuggets that people listening can take and actually change their mindset and grow. And that's 100% from this episode's one of them. And we're also guilty because you can preach and preach, but actually you listen back to these, we talk about, you listen back and you go, actually, we should be listening to ourselves a bit more on that.
It's easy to talk. It's easy. It's experience that teaches you that you can look at something and you go, that might work, might not work. And I think one of the things is when guys are in business and often they sit with people around the table and they want advice, what they're asking you to do is to play darts in a pitch black room and hit bullseye. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to give them your opinion because you don't understand their business. And if they've tried it and you suggest it, they're going to go, idiot.
I did that before.
He's got no idea what I'm going through. Okay, so you need to understand the wider ecosystem, what's causing it. There's so much more to it. But you don't get the time to think about your business because you're so busy hustling, working in it, doing what you need to do. And then cash flow comes into it because you need money.
Yeah.
So when you look at systems, this system's going to cost me £800. I'm only making 600. Where am I going to find that money?
Yeah.
You know, access to funding is becoming increasingly more difficult. I read a statistic the other day that Scottish companies, small to medium-sized companies in Scotland, find it twice as difficult to access funding than their counterparts in England and Wales.
Yeah,
so what does that tell you? Okay. What does that tell you about banks, about governments, about that? And we're not going to get into a political rant today, but it is more difficult.
No, that was very directed.
Because I'm the ranter.
So it just becomes a lot more difficult for guys in business. So what's missing, Jade? I don't know, community, maybe a good, I will say to you, a plan is never the measure of success of a business, or it means that your business will be a success. But without a roadmap, okay, how do you know where you're going to? And how do you know you'll get there? What are your milestones and your markers along the way? And we don't think about that. We don't think about goals, objectives. What do we need to do? Bite-sized chunks. We call it 90-day sprints. What are you doing in the next 90 days? It'll yield the result, not today, but in 3 years' time. Because you know what? We all want instant success. Start my business today. Tomorrow, I want to be a billionaire, drive a Bentley. Go look at businesses, successful businesses. Overnight success story, 15 years in the making.
Exactly.
I think the one thing that people need when they're starting their business and they've been in it for a year, 3 years.
10.
Motivation. Because it's great. You know, we talk about sometimes the dirty truth and it's hard and whatnot, but it's also fucking brilliant. But you do need that motivation, that we kick up the bum the Monday or the Tuesday, the Wednesday when the wife or the husband's no well and you're paddling like mad, you're back and forth trying to help support the kids and you've got a client that's not paid you on that Friday and you needed the money and you need some glimmer of hope sometimes, just a wee nudge in the right direction to say, it's okay, we've all been here. Just smile, tits and teeth.
But if you don't have access to cash, what do?
Motivate yourself to get cash.
So when do you fall out of love with your business? What happens then?
Well, when you fall out of love with your business, it goes.
You have to recognise that you're in that position first. And then, we've spoken about a lot about getting the right people around about you. And if you can just put the hand up for a bit of help, people can come in. And then you can start to get a different plan from where you are in your journey and look where you're actually going to go, which to me, that's motivation. When I start looking at my plan, like I've always got a plan of where I'm starting to go. The difference, I think, with the plan is you're hitting targets and stuff, but you're not actually looking at things like, right, I maybe need to get a CRM in or,
You're not looking at the big picture stuff that actually moves the needle for your business. It's like urgent and important. The important stuff we don't care about. It's like the child sitting in the corner. They go, hey, I'm still here. And you're like, hey, I'll get to you. Don't worry, I'm going to get to you now. But you focus on the urgent stuff, the stuff that doesn't move the needle.
Yeah.
Or things like, I use this example, when you look at teams, people think stationery is important. Stationery, I couldn't care less about stationery. But the thing that's really important, we haven't put in the stationery order for this week, we're going to be late. don't care. But the thing that really moves the needle, contacting the client, confirming the order, we put that off.
Yeah.
Those are the types of things we talk about that guys don't have access to. And you only know what you know.
So we talk about that in marketing, being, you know, proactive and reactive marketing as well. So you can always be reactive in marketing. So you're jumping on another social media trend, or you've seen a competitor put something out and think, oh, we need to do that as well. But actually, if you flipped that and you spent 80% of your time being proactive, so creating the trend, so being the first one to do something different, to do something new, and that is another bugbear. Put this down as number four. Businesses just want to do what everybody else is doing all the time. I've seen this, I want to do that, or they're doing this, so can we do that? No, we can't. No, be different.
So you're right, COVID. Tell the story about COVID with the clients. What you did.
Oh, so we phoned them all, even the ones that weren't even a client with us, but it was on the data system because I set up the system. And generally it was meaningful. We phoned them all, regardless. Oh, so just saying, Mrs. Smith. Hi, it's Johnny here for GB. Oh, hi, we didn't go ahead with you. I know that. It's not about that. It's just saying, look, we've got the truck there. I can go around and pick up the messages if you're wanting anything. Just give us a shout because I know. You know, they're older and stuff like that. Oh, and that, it was genuine. We're being completely genuine. But the goodwill you get from that, and even now the competitions we do, it sparked that from COVID. So we do like the gift of giving. So indirect selling, we ask them to like and share the posts, but we want you to tag three people of a worthy cause. Maybe they're falling hard times, maybe they're a bit lonely, or maybe you just want to say hi. So it's about people being... And stop being selfish, like me. Give somebody else an option. And I think this week we're handing 150 quid out, two envelopes, one with £100 in it, one with 50. But that was from the person giving somebody else an opportunity. And indirect selling, yes, but it's also, you know, how great is it when you get recognised in your business for doing something and people phone you up, I'd just like to say thanks. It's the same idea. You make the person feel great.
That's so different, Johnny, because how many other businesses are doing that? How many other businesses are actually putting community first and leaning into that? Mm-hmm. What you're doing is novel. Like, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that selflessness and, you know, kindness and these good gestures are nice and novel. It shouldn't be like that, but it is, because we do. We get wrapped up so much in what we're doing day to day, we forget to think about the bigger picture. Where do we live and how can we help?
You're like a DJ.
But yeah, like what you're doing, nobody else is doing it. Not in that way, not locally, that I've seen it anyway and I see you doing all this good work. That's new. Thinking outside the box, doing something different. Not a lot of people are doing that with their messaging, with their content, the way they show. Social media, oh my God, you are not just competing for attention from bigger companies in your space with hundreds of thousands or potentially millions of pounds in ad spend, which we just will not have at the back of us at any point. But you're also now dealing with content creators, the people whose sole mission in life it is just to create really content, cool, funny stuff on the internet. There's a guy that jumps up in the air and does different poses while he's up there, millions of views. How is your video with your company's logo flashing up with fire behind it before you launch into, we are pleased to announce, how is that standing out for attention? You are fighting against so much more. The competition for attention is so high. You have to dare to be different. You cannot make no noise and be in the background anymore. You have to think of something or you will not be seen.
It's when you're looking at your age demographic. Who is my customer? What do they want to see? What problem are solving? All these things that you've said before. And it's what content needs to go out there and for them to take a step back and go, huh? And it's that feeling. It's that, you know, curing that feeling or that scratching that itch for them. You've got to think about what you're actually putting out there. You know, you see all these trends nowadays. My kid's watching some shite on the iPad. But the attention span of a goldfish. You know, you talk about ADHD or all these things. Maybe we've all got a bit of that. But yes, for businesses to properly think about their content and what they're putting out and be proud of what they're putting out there. And again, even just trying as many things as they possibly can. Some businesses might not even need to do that. They might just need to do a flyer run because that's where they get all their clients from. Maybe they just need to put a signposter up. to catch it, depending on what the, you know, you talked about Mother's Day there and candles, you like a good candle.
I love a good candle.
Like the candle shops, you know, I went and got candles, but it was online. But I already
knew
you
can't sniff a candle if you buy it online, Johnny.
Okay, but it was an expensive
how do you know it
candle.
Smells nice?
You just assume no,
because you read the caption and go, this would smell nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can't, oh, imagine getting like scratch and sniff videos on Facebook. That would be quite cool. That's where we're going to go when the robots take over.
Yeah, of course.
That's absolutely where we're
going to go. It's not far away.
Sensory experience.
Sensory experience.
I'm going to say to you, I'm going to say to you this, a mediocre business sells features and benefits. A good business sells an outcome. An exceptional yes. business sells a feeling.
I like that.
I'm going to leave that with you. That's my wisdom for today.
Perfect.
Drop the bomb. There you go. Jade, what's the future looking like for you and your business?
Busy.
I love that.
I can't complain. Like, in 14 months, like, I was waiting for that lull. You know that one that comes?
Yeah, that comes.
That comes and you're like, what am I doing this for? Like, why is this happening? But I don't have that. And I believe that's for a couple of different reasons. I'm honest. I'm affordable. I'm accessible. So I don't have a lull. So I will continue to stay busy and I will continue to stay honest and approachable and unfortunately give far too much time away for free. But that does really well for me and it works and it helps so many people. So there's no question when they need to spend money, they come to
me. So that's a great testimony to you, Jade, because if you can't give it away, it owns you. So time, if you can't give your time away, it owns you. Money, if you can't give your money away, it owns you. What owns you? It's just a question.
Listen, I've got a penny in my pocket. I'll give you
a penny.
Thanks, Squire.
So how do people find out about you? Where did they find you?
Oh, well, you'll see my face at several local networking events. LinkedIn, website, wearethrive.co.uk. You will find me because I'm around. You will see me on Facebook. You'll see me on Instagram. You'll see me on LinkedIn. You will see me at the event. I am everywhere. And that's what your marketing should be.
Perfect. Brilliant. Well, on that note then,
this is your world.
Shape it.
Or someone else will.
It's so good.